much for being here tonight and for allowing me to come here and speak. I want to request the blessings of especially all the senior Vaishnavas here. Many of you are much more qualified to speak than me, but as a service to all of you, I'll take this opportunity to speak for your pleasure and for my own purification. So this week was a very special occasion. It was the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada starting for the West. Prabhupada, he took a boat from Calcutta 50 years ago to come to the West with the message of Lord Chaitanya, the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and ultimately the Holy Name. So in this context, I'd like to speak something today from the Bhagavatam. Because what did Prabhupada take with him? Yes, on the boat. What did he take? Yes, he had practically nothing. He had just a few rupees. He had some possessions, hardly anything, just a suitcase. And he had a few trunks of Bhagavatam. It said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one day Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saharita Bodhariya Pushpavanta Chitra Oshantapanam. The Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're just like the sun and the moon. And they have arisen on the horizon of Gaudadesh of Bengal. And they dispel the ignorance, the darkness of the age of Kali. So how do they do this? So Krishna's Kaviraj explains that they do this through the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavat is two. It's the devotee and the book Bhagavat. So we see how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have spread the Holy Name through the Bhagavatam and through Srila Prabhupada, who carried the Bhagavatam. We see how there's actually kind of a prophetic statement made 500 years ago. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted the Bhagavatam to be spread, printed. I have a very strong connection with the Bhagavatam because it was the very first book I ever got. I never met a devotee in my life that just picked up a Bhagavatam from a local library close to my school, and I found it an amazing book, and it transformed my life just reading it. For I got the book, it was the third canto. It was a little far out, but the message did penetrate very deeply. For 2 weeks I was reading it, and it transformed my life, and that since then I kind of took up Krishna consciousness despite the bottle of it. So Prabhupada wanted this book to be spread, and specifically he wanted one particular canto to be spread, and it's the canto 6, part 1. He wanted this book to be distributed on the streets because it has very essential information about actually what he really came to give. And what Lord Chaitanya Lord Nityananda came to give is the Holy Name. So we'll read from this today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahara. Shri Shatamakamushtar Hey Krishna Parmasindho Jinnabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Satyanchana Gaurangi Vare Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpata Yogyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 15
Kechit kevalaya bhakcha vasudeva parayana Adham dunvanti karchnena niharaniva bhaskara
Translation in Prabhupada, let the own grace, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami's with Prabhupada. Translation, only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of simple actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this by discharging devotional service just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays.
Purpose of little monks, I'll just read one paragraph. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burned to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but there is no taste for devotional service, there is possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shriya Ashritim Bhaktim Udashyate Vibhaklishyanti Yekeva Labodha Labdhaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world as distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in further activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti, pareshan, bhava, virakti, anyatra cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, for sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. This is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both impious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance because a living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, had no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana relieves one from reactions of all sinful activities. So just to give you a little context about what is spoken here in the Bhagavatam, this is the beginning of the sixth canto, and the fifth canto was a description given of the entire universal creation. And as part of the universal creation, there was a description given of the lower worlds, the lower planets in this universe. So there's three loka, so that's where souls suffer the reactions of their impious, their sinful behavior. Of course, nowadays people think that their actions have no consequences. But this is a government who's checking, especially nowadays, they check you left and right and center and above and beyond. They check you, what you're doing. So, but similarly, in the universal government, we are being observed. We are being observed by higher authorities in this universe, and we have to pay the consequences of our actions. A very unpopular idea, especially in the West. It's this idea that we don't have to pay the consequences of our actions. We can bomb a country, and we can do this and that. And there's, you know, there's no sense like, oh, this can kind of come back to us in some way or another. This is very, very prevalent in this Kaliyuga. So, but there are reactions for our activities, and the suffering involved for that. So, Maharaj Parikshit, caring about the intense suffering of the living beings in this universe, his heart was so aggrieved as a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is paradukha dukkhi. He feels the pain of others like his own. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, what is the, out of the natural compassion, he asked, what is the, how can living beings be delivered from this suffering? So then Sukadeva Goswami, what did he say? The scholars, the monastery?
He said, atonement
first? Yes. This is great. It's a priyastita. So there's Dharma Shastras which describe, you know, whether our proper behavior or is improper behavior. And if you do improper behavior, what do you do to atone for your improper behavior? So, but then Parikshit Maharaj said, no, but we see that so many people, they perform this, but then they don't really change their hearts. They just do the same thing over and over again. So there's no real change. So he said, this is like, what's the example he gave? Very famous?
Okay.
Yeah, Kunjara Sochavat. It's like the Kunjara Socha. Kunjara Socha is elephant bath, but like. So, like an elephant takes bath, comes out, throws dust all over. Okay. So, and then take bath again, like that. So, there's no progress. There's relief, but there's no progress. So then he gave another verse, Tapasya Brahmacharya na Samincha Dhamincha So he said this, perform austerities, penances, celibacy, rules, regulations that purifies your existence. And we see, when you live a very regulated life, you're just practicing. I've been a Brahmacharya myself for many years, and even just that determination to do that. There's not even devotional service involved, just to say that, okay, I'm just not going to engage in sense. It's purifying. It feels like it's that's what you see. Brahmins are very important for us now because they perform the spirit. So, yeah, purifies existence. But still, he says it's like the bamboos which are burned. So the bamboo is burned, but the roots are still in the ground. And at some point, what happens? They grow again. Yes. So the root is not taken out because it's just, you may be purified in a certain way, but it doesn't hit the deepest level of our existence. Because you can restrain, and it's purifying, but ultimately a living being is made of desire. Like Lord Krishna is called Kamadeva. Kamadeva is Cupid, but original Kamadeva is Krishna, and this is the Lord of desire. Krishna has desires, and he multiplies himself with so many living beings to fulfill his desires. And we also have desires, and we cannot live without desires. So, in order to really change the desire, something else needs to happen. And so that comes to this verse. So it says, Kechit. Kechit means not everyone. Some. Kevalaya bhaktya, by unalloyed, kevala means a pure devotional service. Intense devotional service, not devotional service mixed with so many other processes. Yeah, anani bhakti. Just bhakti, nothing, bhakti, nothing else but bhakti. To Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, taking full shelter of Krishna, not Ganesh, not Lord Shiva. Nandurga, Kechit Kevalaya Bhakti, Vasudeva Parayana. With complete surrender and taking shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, the Sarvakaranakarma, the cause of all causes, the origin of everything, and our very origin. Alhamdulvanti Karshneena. That process is like it's like Aghamdulmanti that dispels all sins on its deepest level. Aghamdulmanti Karchina completely Nihara Mivabhasha. Like the sun, when the sun comes up, yesterday I was in upstate New York, and so the sun rises, it's a very beautiful landscape, and a lot of mist, a lot of fog. But just after the sun rises, shortly after, then all the fog dissipates very quickly. And does the fog disappear? Does the fog come back in the sunshine? No, only when the sun goes away, then the fog comes back. But if the sun stays, no question of the fog. The fog can't stand in front of the sun. They don't go together. So when Krishna's present, no amount of sinful activity, no amount of darkness can actually stay in the heart. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hayandakar, Yahan Krishna Tahanahi, Maya Radhika. The Maya is like darkness, but Krishna is like the sun. And wherever it is, the sun, in the light of Krishna, the darkness cannot be made. And with this conviction that Prabhupada came to the West, that Krishna is so powerful. He knew. People don't know anything about Krishna here. People are very deeply in kind of in the fog of material illusion, like thinking this is us. And his body, basically. But he said, like, he had the conviction that Krishna is so powerful, he can dispel that. So there's one story in the Bhagavatam, which then will be recited after this sloka, of Ajamu. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story. Anyone is familiar with the story of Ajamu? So Ajamu is a very, very pure person, actually. Very pure Brahman. But just by bad association, seeing a Sudra and Sudarmani, like a lower class couple, embracing it and kind of, as we say nowadays, making up. he got disturbed. And he tried to kind of deal with it. He tried to keep it, to push it out of his head. But he couldn't. So he became bewildered, and ultimately he wound up marrying that lady, that prostitute. And he engaged in many kinds of to sustain his family, gave up all his brahminical activities. And he just became a robber and a thief, and he became a very, let's say, sinful person. So we can see actually how bad association can really quickly bring us down. And especially Kali Yuga is like full of bad association. And we have to be very careful about what we see, when we interact with, what we hear, etc., because contamination comes in so many different ways. And we see, like, none of us can claim we're as pure as Ajami. He was a pure Brahmin from birth, never committed any sin in his life. Very extraordinary pure person. A person I didn't even find properly nowadays. Trained in every aspect of the Vedic wisdom, Vedic practice, chanted mantras perfectly, performed yagyas and homas. Purely trained in brahmacharya, and very chaste by his life. But still, he saw one thing he came a little bit. What is our dangerous situation here? How easily we can become a little bit? I think this is very relevant for many, many, also our children growing up in Krishna consciousness. I think this community, which I really want to kind of acknowledge, that this community has done a fabulous job of raising children. You see so many of the children who grew up in this community have such a powerful experience, such a warm, felt so much love and care and warmth, and saw so much genuine sincerity of the devotees of their parents and their, their elders, that so many have very seriously taken up Krishna consciousness and very good devotees. And I always see the youth from Tawakur who grew up here, something very special about them. And they have a very deep sense of Krishna consciousness. So I just want to acknowledge that, that in this community, that's such a glory of this, of those devotees who raise their children with so much love and care and purity. That even going in this world with all its distractions and where you, what the job will see, you see basically all the time. You go into a college dorm or whatever, it's nothing compared to what Ajahn is all, but still the Krishna consciousness is so strong that it stayed for so many. And also strongly feel that those who've been through that, many of the elderly people never went to college here or never had this experience of growing up here in the West, but those who have had this experience and know how difficult it is, like how challenging it is to grow up in Krishna consciousness and to be confronted with so many there's so many distractions, so many things which can take you away from Krishna by your association, by materialistic association. Those who have had the experience to share it also with the kids who grew up now, and to help them and protect them and help them through this can be a very difficult time, very challenging time. Where your values, which you grew up in, suddenly completely clash with the world around you. And so much difficulty can arise from that. So that's a side point, but it's a very important point. Diet with association is so much provided here, and also for those who've had that and the benefit of that, to pass it on to the next generation. I think that's the way to show gratitude to those who had that experience. So Ajahn became bewildered, and he had a young son called Narayan. We know the story. Sri Chandra Narayan, bring this, Narayan did this, Narayan come here, Narayan, he was chanting Narayan all the time. So by the time death came, he was chanting Narayan. And by the time death, the Yamadutas came. I have a friend, his name is Ganesham. We lived in the ashram together for many years, and he's now doing hospital chaplaincy. And once he met a lady, he's seeing patients and like giving them spiritual care, counseling. So he met a lady, and she said, I just had this near-death experience just a few days ago. I've been a pious Christian my whole life, and I saw all these ugly personalities come in front of me to take me away. So he was like, whoa. That. So he went to some, but he was quite sure maybe he had a good sense that it was probably young Lucas he saw. But he went to his supervisor and he told him all the experience. I said, this happens all the time. People have, they just go a little crazy when they start hallucinating. But yeah, people have this all the time. It seems. This person always comes somehow. That's what he said. He was in the hospital for 30 years being his supervisor. So, no joke, because the Yamadutas, they're not just mythology from the book here. So, and then of course the Vishnudutas came, and the conversation took place between them. So, the Yamadutas said, this was sinful, committed so many sins, maybe we should take him. And the Vishnu said, no, he's sinless. Why? Yes, because he chanted the holy name. So what makes the holy name so powerful? Yes. Why?
It's directly Krishna.
Because the holy name is directly Krishna. Any other
like the son of the rich man,
Yes. Actually, yeah, this is all described. So the vision is to explain. And that it is very important. They say that because the holy name is so pure, that when the holy name is chanted, no amount of sinful activities can stay. But then they say another reason. Because the holy name in itself is so powerful, being no different from Namakari Bhodhananda Sarvishna. The holy name, not different from Krishna. So it has all the powers of Krishna. And then just as Krishna is the supreme pure, nothing can stay in front. No simple activities can stay in front. Or not belong, at least. But and then there's another reason they gave, is that because when somebody chants Krishna's name, it attracts his personal attention. His personal attention goes to that person. And this is such a beautiful quality, though, that the Lord is so... He's an unlimited great, but he's so soft-hearted. That when somebody chants his name, even if it's not, he doesn't necessarily call out to him like with the intention to call out to him, but he feels compelled. He feels inclined. He feels it is my, it's actually said in the Bhagavatam, it is my duty to come and help this person because the person is chanting my holy name. That's how merciful Krishna is. So more than anything else, this is a story of mercy. The story of Ajahn is a story of mercy. And the Acharyas also explained because he grew up as a pious Brahmin, as a devotee of Narayana. So the Lord never left him. The Lord never left him. He got the Lord, but the Lord never left him. Always stayed with him throughout everything. Throughout his whole journey of, and all the complications thereof. And all this, the Lord never departed from him. And acted in such a way as to ultimately purify him. So the holy name, it doesn't only dispel all sinful activities, but it dispels the ignorance, which is at the root of all sinful activities. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, he defines sin very interestingly. He says sin is pious or impious activities. Whatever activity you do, which is not devotional service to Krishna, that's sin. Sin in the sense that it's not natural, it's against our own nature, and ultimately a cause of suffering. In some sense, it's an act of rebellion against the Supreme Lord to perform any other activity but devotional service. Because that's what Krishna desires, that we serve Him, that we act in such a way to love Him. And that's our natural position. That's when a living entity is completely pure, what does he do? Well, he serves Krishna, nothing else. This is the nature of every living being. So the holy name dispels that ignorance that makes us think that we have anything else to do, really. And that may be a gradual process, but that's ultimately what the holy name awakens. It awakens us to devotional service. It clears the path. It clears all our simple activities from the past, and then awakens us to our original nature of devotional service. And then that's where when we awaken that, then we have no more. Then we can really uproot all the inclination to do any kind of impious activity or any sinful activity or any pious activity for that matter, because we feel this is what I am. This is what I'm meant to do. I remember very clearly myself. I used to, as a job, I used to wash pots in a restaurant in my spare time. Because I was very young, I was going to school, and you can just get some kind of job, right? So, and I hated it. I really didn't like it. It was so boring and mind-numbing to do it. But when I came for the first time to the temple, I came a little early. On Sunday, to help out. I was wanted to help out a little bit for the Sunday feast, and then they put me in the kitchen to wash the pots. So. And so I was thrilled to the nuns. But then as I started doing it, it was an amazing experience actually, because I recognized I'm doing this activity which I really hate by all material means. But I'm loving it. Because I felt as I was doing it, I felt like this is what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to serve. I'm not acting for myself here, I'm acting for the pleasure of Krishna. And just a shift of consciousness made the difference between day and night. And many times, and since then, for a whole year, I just would visit the temple and just wash pots. And I would go out, I would start at leaving Saturday, stay overnight, and leave Sunday evening. And I remember this leaving on Sunday, I was just in bliss completely, just from the service. Because, yeah, seva, that's what we want to do, seva. And when that seva, the spirit of seva awakens in us, then we feel blissful, we feel ecstatic. That's when we feel Krishna conscious, that's when we feel bhakti. Yeah. So, Ajamal, he awakened. And he took the Krishna consciousness after that very seriously. He had a kind of conversion moment, and he took the Krishna consciousness very seriously. I was reading one verse which he spoke after this, because the Vishnu just disappeared and the Yamadu just disappeared, and he was there all by himself, and like kind of figuring out, am I dreaming or what happened? And he thought, no, it's real. And he said, I'm such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses, and always engage in devotional service, so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. The Prabhupada says, every one of us should have this determination. We've been elevated to an exalted position by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, and if we remember this, if we remember that this is a great opportunity and pray to Krishna that we will not fall again, our lives will be successful. It's a great opportunity. So Prabhupada gave us the holy name, the pure name. So when we hear Prabhupada, like the holy name through Prabhupada's books, through Prabhupada's devotees, when we hear the holy name, our devotional service awakened, our spirit of Seva awakened. And such a rare opportunity that we can actually have the opportunity this way, by Prabhupada's grace, by the mercy of Gaudiya and the holy name, to completely purify our existence. It's just like we have it in the palm of our hands. We have been in this material world for lifetimes. And many of us have performed any kinds of sinful activities. Some of us may still be involved in some kind of activities. Some of us may be involved in pious activities, or whatever activity, which may not be devotional service. So, we should accept where we are, and not go too fast in devotional life. At the same time, we should always be aware, in the palm of my hand, I have an opportunity. After being in this material world for lifetimes, to completely purify my existence, to have the fog of illusion completely dispelled from my heart and completely awakened to my eternal nature as a servant of Krishna. And we should never take that for granted, because the nature of this world is, especially Kali Yuga, the age we live in, it's a time of spiritual lethargy. It's a time where we're kind of a little lazy about our spiritual life, all of us. It's manda sumanda mate. It's one of the characteristics of the age of Kali Yuga. We're lazy about our spiritual life. There's always something more to do, there's always a distraction, there's always something more important, and it's just so hard to, perform these austerities, picking up these books and like
so much easier to hear something else. It's so much easier to not chant or to chant. It's easy to get lazy, and it's hard to struggle to stay alive in your spiritual life. But what would really help us is to have the value, is to really value this opportunity. And because nothing is for granted in this world. The sin is something very deep. It's not just like you do something, you have a reaction. We're almost okay. It's whenever we perform one particular activity, we immediately, by performing an activity, we sow the seed for doing the activity again. And at some point, those seeds will sprout. And suddenly a desire comes to do something. Even though we haven't done it for years or for a lifetime, that desire may suddenly come in association. So we're in a very dangerous situation. So none of us is at the bottom, getting implicated again in material life and in ignorance. So this opportunity is very rare to wherever we're at, we should accept that, and we should not like, spiritual life is a gradual process. But the gradual process is always in the context of this is a very rare opportunity that I can completely, by the power, immense power of the Holy Name, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, Lord Chaitanya has given, I can completely purify my existence and awaken my original spiritual nature, my love of Krishna. So when Ajami did that, that's the part mostly not told so much of the story.
Yeah.
Like he was really serious about it, and he completely gave himself in devotional service, so purified his existence and went back to God. Only after that, the conversion came. So we should always be aware of this. Our biggest enemy, Ravana Swami often says, one of our biggest enemies in spiritual life is this spiritual lethargy. To not take this like fully serious in this opportunity that we should have. So, and that is what this story is teaching, and Jama is saying, and I'll end with that. I'm such a simple person, but since I've now gotten this opportunity, to completely purify my existence, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. And I read the proverb once again. Every one of us should have this determination. We have been elevated to an exalted position by the mercy of Krishna, the spiritual master. And if we remember that this is a great opportunity and pray to Krishna that we will not fall again, our lives will be successful. Thank you very much.